Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Hello, Calvary. Welcome back to episode 4 and the conclusion of our Summer Stories message series, as we've been looking over the last month at these iconic parables that Jesus told. It's been so good, so rich, and I think that these truths, these episodes, just keep getting richer and richer as we dig into God's Word together. It's kind of like my wife's spaghetti sauce, to be honest. Nobody does it better than her. I'm sorry for those of you that make a good spaghetti sauce, but she makes the best spaghetti sauce. When she makes it, it's great. But hold on, wait a minute. When you wait a day or two and it sets up in the fridge, I don't know what it is, but when it ages a little bit, then it is fantastic. And so like every series that we do, it seems that one truth builds upon the next. Kind of like I feel right now in my early 50s. I'm not getting older, man. I'm getting better, like a fine wine. I'm aging. And all this gray, that's just vintage. And so for all of you out there that are in my world, we're just getting better. And as the Word of God builds within us, His life, the way we reflect Him, gets stronger and stronger. John 3:30 says, He must increase and I must decrease. So I don't know about you, but I want much more of Him in my life. So this episode today in week 4, it's just reached a great kind of boiling point. And so I'm ready to serve it up today if you're ready to receive it. And we're ready to jump in if you are. So if you've got your Bibles, pull it out today. We're going to jump into some great teaching in this parable that we're going to look at today. And you know what? Jesus spoke often in parables to take kingdom truth and connect it to everyday life. And he cast stories alongside of those truths so that they would come to life in those that were hearing what he was saying and seeing what he was saying. And these are moments in time where this practical application and the theological framework for us to understand who God is come together all at the same time in this great little kingdom dumpling where everything kind of merges into one, which is fantastic. Because for me, I love Scripture, but I want to know how it applies to how I'm living. How can this change the way that I live my life today when I walk away from hearing this on a podcast or watching it at home? What can bring about the kind of change in my life where I can see more of Him and less of me? And so when it comes to the kingdom of God, that was the great subject that Christ was speaking to the people about. And the kingdom, it weaves its way through every single part of our lives. And I think a solid biblical, kind of solid understanding or statement of what the kingdom is His way of doing and being right. It's how we live that out in our lives. That means that the kingdom of God is not just concerned with eternity, and it is, but it's also concerned with you. The kingdom is concerned about how you pay your bills, who you marry, who you spend time with, what your friends are like. The kingdom is concerned about your education, your plans for the future, the groceries you buy, your family. It's connected to everything because God cares about what you care about. And Jesus also understood that the kingdom wasn't something that people could actually reach out and touch all the time or see. It wasn't something that they could sign up for a tour to go and visit. Like, let's go to the kingdom where there's a castle and you can see the king, like going to Buckingham Palace. It wasn't like that. And so Jesus used stories to say the kingdom is like this. And he would connect what the kingdom was like to things in their lives in that first century audience that they actively understood. See, he talked about God's love and what that looked like in our lives. And he would say it's like a Samaritan man who comes across someone who's been robbed and beat up, who other people that we would have expected to slow down and help kind of walked on by. God's love is like a father who welcomes his son home after he's been disrespectful or spent all his inheritance on wild living. He's there for the son who was lost far from home, but he's also there for the son who got lost right at home and didn't leave at all. Kingdom truths are like seeds scattered on the ground. Some find good ground. Some fall on stony and hard ground and don't take root. Others are plucked away. See, all of these comparisons was to help people open their eyes and their hearts to what the kingdom was all about. So, let's conclude this series with a familiar passage of Scripture and a parable that I think deserves a deeper look. This is the parable of the talents that we're going to look at today. Another well-known, iconic parable that Jesus told. As a matter of fact, Jesus told this parable once in a public setting, and then he told it also with his disciples in a more private setting. But the one we're going to focus on today is in Matthew chapter 25. But my message today is called In the Bag. In the Bag. So let's begin with a kind of little story time here today. If you're familiar with this parable, then just sit back and enjoy it. I'd like to read the whole thing so that we can kind of take it in with fresh ears and that our hearts are open to hear what God's saying in this moment. Matthew 25, starting in verse 14 and going right through to verse 30. Again, it will be like a man. So when he says it will be like, he's talking about the kingdom of God, right? The kingdom of God is like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to these servants. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag. Now, in the King James, it uses the word talent, which is actually a reference to a unit of measurement. It's actually a weight. So those that were hearing this story would have thought about that. Now, when we hear the word talent today, we think of a gift or an ability that you can play the guitar or you can sing, something like that. And actually, our understanding of gift or ability or talent is kind of derived back from that moment when they were talking about these gifts and ties into what Christ is talking about in our lives when we're to be good stewards of the resources that we have. So 5 bags of gold, 5 talents. 2 bags of gold, 2 talents. 1 bag of gold, 1 talent. Each according to his ability. And we all have different abilities. Then he went on his journey. So he went out on his trip. He left his wealth with these 3 servants, which was a big deal, having these servants being the kind of trust he had to leave this with him. It says, the man who received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So circle or underline, went at once. And we're going to come back to that a little later on. So he doubled his money. He put it to work immediately. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. He also put that money to work. He put that gold to work. But the man who had received 1 bag went off. He dug a hole in the ground and he hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5 and said, Master, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. I think he was kind of bragging a little bit in this moment. But you know what? The master was happy with his return and impressed with his work. And so he says, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, important, with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Faithful with a few, and then promoted to many more. Come and share your master's happiness. Now, the man with 2 bags of gold also came and said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The same reward, whether it was 5 bags doubled or 2 bags doubled, the reward and how the master treated them was identical. So very important to see that. Now, when it comes to the man who only had one, things switch up and change a little bit, all right? He goes on to look to this man and brings accountability when he returns. It's the reckoning, right? It's time for him to kind of fess up and say what's happened. And so after he applauds these two guys, he welcomes them to be happy and to celebrate with him, he moves on. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came and said, "Master, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed." I always think, yeah, I might want to choose his words a little bit differently in this moment, especially if he's hoping for a little bit of mercy. He's coming on a little strong. It says, "So I was afraid, and I went out and hid the gold in the ground." Now, I wonder today, with those that are listening and those that are watching, I wonder how much gold is buried in the ground today because of the fear that's in people's lives. The fear that has held people back from stepping out, that they've taken what God's given them and they've hidden it. Because this is a powerful reminder of what we need to be doing with that gold. See, here is what belongs to you. He gave back the bag of gold to his master. Now look at the master's response, because it is intense. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant." That seems a little harsh, but it's the word, right? "So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put the money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. At least he would have got a little bit of investment on his money instead of burying it in the ground. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one with 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless, listen to this, throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Not a good day for the one bagger dude, right? Let's pray today before we dive into what Christ is trying to communicate here. Let's believe that God, through his Holy Spirit, would speak to each of us. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for its power at work within our lives. And we pray that you would speak to us, so that the word will transform us, so that we will walk in the power of your kingdom, and that you truly would increase and we would decrease. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it seems more and more these days in grocery stores, movie theaters, airports, these self-serve checkouts or check-ins are popping up. Instead of real live people, it's machines. And so, you know what? I can appreciate technology. I don't mind tech when it helps me to maybe speed up my day and maybe get me out of a line. I do appreciate that. But I also appreciate even more the human interaction. I appreciate that somebody is there to serve me and help me, somebody who's been trained. And so now we see these self-service check-in stations showing up all over the place. I was in a long line at the drugstore the other day, and this particular store, not far from where we live, used to have probably 5 or 6 checkouts, and each one of them had a person who was trained to check people out, who had a big smile on their face, who would make you feel good as you were spending your money. But now they were all gone, and there was only one checkout with a live checkout individual, and in its place was 5 or 6 new shiny self-serve checkout stations. And you know what? Every one of us in the line were just avoiding them. We weren't interested. We were all waiting in line to talk to somebody that was real. Because you know what? I've seen it happen before, and that's what happened. Suddenly one of the other staffers comes along and says, "Wouldn't you want to try the self-checkout? You'd be done quicker." But inevitably, you go over there, and the thing starts beeping and flashing, and there's a problem. They got to call somebody over. You end up wasting more time because, you know what? I was never trained or interested in being trained to be someone who's checking people out at the drugstore. Now, some people, that's their job. They've been trained to do it, and they do it well, and I appreciate that. But that's not, I'm not jumping in that line. I'd rather wait a little longer to talk to that smiley individual who's waiting to take my money, put my stuff in a bag, and see me on my way. I'd rather wait for that. You know what? I remember a day when you'd go to the airport, you were going on a trip, and you'd get in a line, and that line would end at a counter. Remember those days, right? Where you'd give your passport and your ticket, and you talk to a real, live human being. Now you go to the airport, and it is one long line of self-check-in stations. Same situation. It's getting better. I think it's improving. But usually when you get in the line, there's a problem with the machine. It sends you back to the home screen. You got to find somebody and call them over. Just let me stand in line and wait for a real person. But back in the day when you did get to a real person, you'd hand them your passport, you'd hand them your ticket, and the first thing they would say to you is, how many bags do you have today? That was their first question, because they wanted to find out how many bags you were checking in or taking on the plane so that they could charge you accordingly. Now, similarly, in light of this parable I've just read to you, I have the same question for you today. How many bags do you have? How many bags has Christ invested into your life? Are you a one-bagger, two-bagger, five-bagger? All of us are different. See, we're not all created equal when it comes to our abilities. We're all created equal when it comes to our value, but we're all wired differently. We're all gifted differently. For instance, we're not all Olympic athletes. We're not all YouTube influencers or lawyers. We're not all prime ministers or presidents. We're all gifted differently. Some are one baggers. Some are two baggers. Some are five. We're all very different. And to this first century audience that Jesus was talking about, that were surrounding him, listening to this story, they were familiar with the word talent because it was that unit of measurement. It was more about weight. And so what we hear and what they heard sometimes are very different things, even though they can be related together. And so we need to understand that. And even though Christ is using bags of gold when he was referring to a talent, he was talking about much, much more than just money. He's talking about being a good steward with everything you have, with every resource that you've been given. I'm talking about our own understanding of what a talent is, your gifts. How many bags do you have? And what are you doing with what's in those bags? What are you doing with what God has placed in your hand? Now, if I was to continue that airport illustration, after you check in, you drop off your bags, and you make your way through that kind of long, winding Jungle Cruise line to find yourself in security, right? And so you got to go through and get scanned, but when you step up to the little conveyor belt, there's a group of security people there, very sternly looking at you. You take off your belt, you take off your shoes, you take your laptop out of your bag, you put it all in the little tray, take out your change, your keys, whatever could cause the scanner to go off, and you send it through. You send it through with your check-in bag, your jacket, or whatever you have. You walk through security, they scan you and wand you down, right? And then you come out the other side and you wait. It's kind of like a little game. You wait to see if your bag pops out quickly or if it goes and then they back it up. And it goes and they back it up again. And the more perplexed the people looking at the screen are, you think, I am the one, man. And so suddenly they call somebody over, they talk, they look at the screen together. They're very concerned with what's going on the screen. And then they pull you over for further screening. And usually the first question that they ask you is, what's in your bag? What's in your bag? Again, my question to you today, what's in your bag? What has the master entrusted you with? And are you using what's in your bag? Are you putting it to work in your life? Are you doubling that investment? Or are you burying it in a hole somewhere in the backyard? How many people have taken that rich deposit, that gold that he's put in your life, the talents and abilities and resources, your time, and instead of investing it, instead of putting it to work immediately, it's squandered, it's left dormant, not doing anything and not being effective for anybody. How much wasted potential? Think about it. How much wasted potential and resources are covered up today and hidden? You know what? When you bury your gift, we all lose. We all suffer. Not just you, because we all benefit from how God has called and gifted each of us. You see, the master's expectation of his servants was to do something with what he gave them. Don't just do nothing. Go and put it to work. He wanted to see how they would respond. And it was actually, again, a big deal that these three guys were chosen. You know, it could have been anybody, but only three were chosen. And he entrusted them with significant wealth, more than I think we understand. And I think kind of to help put it in perspective, a talent represented years of a day laborer's wages. Years of wages. And so even at that time, a talent, they say, was about 75 to 100 pounds. So that's a lot of gold. As a matter of fact, even though it's difficult to quantify with certainty, and there's people that kind of are back and forth, scholars, about how much was in that bag, they say, some say it could have been $30,000. Others say it could be upwards of like $1.3 or $1.4 million of today's currency. That is a significant investment to put into the hands of those servants. So this is not a bag, my point, not so much about exactly how much it's worth today, but this bag, what he left his servants, was not just a bag of loose coins. This was a significant amount. Matthew 25, 14, the master says, he called his servants together and he entrusted his wealth to them. This was his money, and he was trusting them to not just keep it safe, but to do something with it. And his wealth and its significance is important because it's likened for you and I to the treasure, the rich treasure that God has entrusted with you today. So what's in your bag? What's in your bag, and what are you doing with what's in your bag? Are you putting it to work? Because sometimes, even over this last year, we've spent so much time in our pajamas and our slippers that maybe some of the gifts that we've been given haven't been put to good use. Well, listen, there's a new day dawning. Today, we're living in a day when you can get back to serving and to seeing his kingdom advance. But what's in your bag, and how are you using it? Now, today, when someone says, it's in the bag, they're talking about something of great value, that statement, in the bag, talking about something of great value that they're assured of. Like, oh, that promotion at work, it's in the bag. They're saying, that's mine, I got it, it's in the bag. You know what? Whether you're a one-bagger, two-bagger, or five-bagger, you can be assured that what the master has entrusted to you has this incredible value. So what will you do with it? Again, are you going to hide it in a hole out of fear because maybe you don't want to step out? Maybe you're afraid of what's going to happen? Or are you going to put it to work? Are you going to see what God will do? Matthew 25, 16, when it talks about sometimes the delay that we have, the procrastination to say, oh, I'll serve. I'll connect to a small group someday, or I'll serve on a team someday. And we put it off, and we put it off, and we put it off. You remember when I said we'd come back to this verse? This is that verse. Matthew 25, 16 says, the man who had received five bags of gold went at once. That means went at once. It was immediately. He went and did something with it. He didn't procrastinate and put it off. He acted upon it. And the Bible says he put his money to work and he gained five bags more. He doubled that investment. So listen, if you can sing, sing. If you can teach, teach. If you can preach, preach. If you're a gifted entrepreneur, then go out and make money to work for the kingdom, to advance the kingdom. Because God wants you to use whatever gift that you have. If you serve, serve. If you lead, lead. Whatever you have, whatever he's gifted you and entrusted you with, whatever gold is within you, put it to work. See, because one day, every one of us will all be held accountable for what we've been given. Just like that master returning from his trip, he came back to say, "What did you do with the bags that I've given you? Did you multiply them? Did you put to work the contents of the bag? Or did you hide because you were afraid that it would fail? What did you do with what I gave you? How did you invest your time, your talent, your treasure? What did you do?" And Pastor Steve says, who will take the next step in their life or help somebody else take a next step within the church? Who will help people on their spiritual journey? When you heard that call, when you heard that invitation, that opportunity to serve in the church and in the kingdom, what did you do with that invitation? Did you immediately say, you know, somebody else will do that? Or I'll do it next month when I've got a little bit more time. See, we can come up with a million and one excuses and hide the gift that we have. But what did you do? What did you do with that invitation? Did you get up early? Did you show up? Did you help set up and tear down? Did you do the things that need to be done? Or did you sleep in on a Sunday morning? Because last year was all about sleeping in on a Sunday morning. It's time to get up. It's time to hear his call again and answer that call. The church is made up of people with one bag, with two bags, with five bags. But it's up to you how you will use the gold that he's invested in your life. It's up to you to act upon it or to do nothing. I believe, personally, that absolutely everything that we need in this church is in the bag. It's in the bag right now, meaning it's in your life, it's in my life. Everything that the church needs to do what it's called to do, to accomplish the mission that it's called to, it's in the bag, it's in your life. That gold has already been put within you. You just need to act on it. You need to go at once, like that five-bagger, and put it to work. You know what? We're so excited to have absolutely no restrictions as a church and to be back accomplishing the mission that he's called us to. And opportunities to serve have never been more plentiful, from the parking lot to the platform, to open doors, to serve on First Impressions teams, to help with student ministries and kids ministries, to help our street friends on our outreach teams, to serve on teams that are helping the Dream Center as we partner with ministries within the city. There is opportunities aplenty. But what are we doing? Because sometimes we look and we see the harvest, we see people that need to come to Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, the harvest is ripe. We're living in a day where God is calling us to go. And he says, look at that field. And back in Jesus' day, he would have had great illustrations because he'd say, look at that harvest. It's ready to be harvested. But what's the problem with that picture? They look out and they see two people in the field and they say, well, there's not really anybody out there. They need help. They need workers. In Matthew 9, 37 to 38, Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pandemic or no pandemic, even in Jesus' day, the workers were few. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. God is calling you, not the person next to you, not the person who's living across the street or around the world. He's calling you. Jesus knew in that moment how great the work at hand was. He also knew that even though there were some people that would see the need and would recognize it, even comment or talk about it, and then walk away from it, he knew that even though there were some who would see it and walk away, that there would be many, many more who would see it and feel the tug on their heart and the call of God to get out there and to answer that call, to do what each of us have been called to do when it comes to reaching the world with the good news of the gospel, to answer that call. You know, we're in the fourth week of in-person services here in the main campus, and it's awesome. We're loving being back, worshiping together. We're in the second week now of the Mandarin campus being back in person. And then tomorrow morning in this facility, it would be filled with kids as our big-time VBS is happening. But you know what? None of that would be possible without the army of volunteers who have recognized that they have a bag in their hand, or two, and they recognize that what's in that bag needs to be put to work. And we're here today. There's people videotaping, editing, doing sound, working with lights. All of that stuff just doesn't happen. These are people who are giving of their time, serving on teams and schedules, and doing what they can to advance the kingdom of God. You know what? It's, you know, in our church, in the back of our seats, we see these next step cards. And it's got an opportunity to figure out what interests you. What interests you? What next step are you taking to serve? Connecting to a small group, serving on a team. These all help to strengthen your faith and strengthen the faith of those that are around you. Come on, church, lean into what God is calling you to. Don't bury your resources, your time, your talent, or your... You know what some of the most valuable things that we have is the time that we've been afforded? Not just our money, not just our talent, but that was guitar there, a little talent. Time. Our time is precious. And so what are you doing with it? How are you investing it? Don't bury it somewhere. Put it to work. Use it. Now, let me give you a few valuable lessons from the parable of the talents that we can learn from and apply in our lives today. The first one is success is a product of our work. You see, in the book of Genesis, God placed Adam in the garden to work, to take care of that garden. We were made, we were created to work, to be active in our lives. And as Christ followers, we have this incredible mission that the Master has entrusted us with, and his expectation is that we'll accomplish it, that we'll do what he's called us to do. And so we need to wake up from this pandemic fog that we've been in and get back to the business of advancing his kingdom, of saying, Lord, whatever I have, however many bags you have entrusted me with, I am going to use it for the furthering of the kingdom so that we can reach more people for Jesus. See, that's the way the church exists, to love God, to love people, to love the life we've been given so that we can actively take that life, the gold that he's put within us, and put it to work. You see, the parable of the talents teaches us that biblical success is working diligently in the here and now, using everything he's entrusted to us to produce the kind of return that the Master expects of us when he returns. Number two, we work for the Master, not for our own purposes. You see, the money that was given to those servants didn't belong to those servants. The servants were only stewards of the Master's investment. But it's the quality, listen, it's the quality of their stewardship that he was seeking to measure in their lives. God is invested something into you that belongs to the kingdom, that belongs to him. And he wants you to steward it well. So we should maximize the use of our talents, not for our own selfish purposes, but to honor the God that we love, the God who has saved us. And then number three, accountability is so crucial to the call that's upon us. You see, the parable of the talents is not about salvation or works righteousness, but it's about how we use our work to fulfill the calling that's upon our lives. You see, the unfaithful one-bag servant, he didn't actually waste the master's money, but he wasted an opportunity. He missed a great opportunity to take what the master had entrusted him with to do something with it. And instead, as a result, he was judged wicked and lazy. Listen, I don't want to hear those words when it's all over. That's not what I'm looking for. You and I are responsible for what we do for God, with what we've been given. And one day, we'll all be held accountable. And what we hear from the master on that day, it's up to you. I don't know about you, but I want to hear well done, not wicked and lazy. I want to hear well done. What I gave you, man, you used it. You spent it all. And you doubled that investment. Now you're surrounded by the thousands of people. Your life has impacted with the gospel. People that were in darkness that are now in the light. People that were lost that are now found. Because you did something with what he called you to do. So, what's in your bag? What's in your bag today, and how are you using it? Let's pray, Calvary. Father, we thank you today for your love, your great love in our lives. We thank you that the kingdom of God is weaving its way through everything we put our hand to do, that you are increasing and we are decreasing. I pray today, Lord, that whatever you've entrusted us with, Lord, we commit ourselves to use it for the furthering of the gospel, to reach the lost, to see them found, to see your kingdom established. Today, I'm mindful of the fact, as I always am, and it's really the thrill and joy of my life to pray with those who maybe are wondering what we're talking about. What? How, you sound like you know Jesus. How do you know him personally? If you don't, you can. So today, I want to pray for you. Wherever you are in your home, in a hotel somewhere halfway around the world, or maybe running on a treadmill somewhere, listening to the podcast. Today, if your heart's beating and you know, listen, Pastor Steve, I need to know Christ the way that you're talking about today. I want to use what he's given me to advance his kingdom. If that's you today, you can pray this simple prayer with me, and it's not because of the magic that's in the words. It's in an understanding and a heartfelt sincerity that you recognize you are in need of a Savior. Would you pray this with me? Father, forgive me of my sins. I thank you that you've paid a great price for that forgiveness. I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Lord and Savior, and to help me live a life that is focused on you. Fill my heart with hope. Help me to know you so that I can make you known wherever I go. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, if that's you today, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, tell somebody in the chat. Let's hear from you what God is doing in your life. We would love to get you some resources. We'd love to see you here at church when you're able to come. Next week, we start a brand new summer speaker series, and you're going to hear from some of the finest people from around the world, people that Pastor Susan and I love so much, that have a heart for this house, that have a heart for Calvary. And I've invited them to be a part of this series, each one of them very special to us, so you do not want to miss it. So come and worship with us in person if you're able. Come and invite a friend, and if you're not able to come just yet, that's okay. Join us from home. And share us on social media. Tell somebody what God is doing at Calvary. Let's spread the word. And whatever you have in your bag, I'll tell you what, invest it and do something with it so that when that call comes someday, when it's all said and done, you'll hear, well done. We love you all. God's best. We'll see you next Sunday.